Today is Saturday, the 8th of July 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 89th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery participating in today's session to provide us with valued insight. So, as a matter of tradition, we would like to welcome Bhante with much respect to today's session, and on behalf of all the participants on Zoom and also through the live stream on Facebook. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all the organizers attending today's session, as well as all the participants through the Zoom session, and also through those who are joining through the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthana Foundation. Our agenda will run up as we will start up with the in-session practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. The topic scheduled for today is stress and anxiety. And after the talk on mindfulness, we will move on to question and answer session, where we present the reports received and present these reports to Bhante, for Bhante's valid guidance to enhance the practice further. So after that, we will provide a chance for any of you to raise a question if you have a question verbally at the end of the Q&A session, and then we will wrap up the program. So to start things off, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante with much respect to commence with the in-session practice for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So today we are starting with a new topic. So I thought maybe we can do an activity which is related to today's topic. For this, you need a piece of paper. If you can collect a piece of paper and a pen, then we can start today's activity. When you are ready, you can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready. Okay, I think most of you are ready to start today's activity. So we have a piece of paper and a pen. Now we are going to write few things on this piece of paper. These things are identical to you. These things are unique to you. What are we going to write? Just be open. Keep your mind at peace. And when you do this, when you allow your mind to be open, when you try to keep your mind at peace, usually certain worries, certain family problems, certain things come into your mind, right? For some of you, it's early morning. Still, things from yesterday might appear, right? So what we are going to do is we are going to keep our mind calm and open, right? Whatever that comes to our mind, certain issues, certain discussions with people, various things might come. So when such things come, you can simply note them down on the piece of paper, right? So these things, they are identical to you. They are unique to you. So you have to be open. You have to see what are the things that come to your mind. Maybe worrying thoughts, maybe future plans. No need to express them in detail. Instead, just in point form, you can write the things. Usually what happens is that we have certain things in the back side of our mind or in the back end of our mind, and they continue to be there. So what we have to do is that be mindful and notice. Just make note of these things. Okay, this thought is there. It keeps bothering me. This incident is there. It keeps me bothering me. Or this discussion with somebody, it keeps coming back and back again to my mind. So in a way, you are acknowledging them. You are making note of them. So that's important. If you don't notice, then what happens is that they might last even few hours, few days, creating that same friction in our mind. Acknowledging them, noticing them helps. At least you know that this thought is there. At least you know that this incident is there. At least you know that this argument is there. That knowing is important. Otherwise, what happens is that these things, they are in the backside of our mind and they keep creating friction. They keep creating stress, anxiety. So in a way, we are acknowledging these things. We write them down. Once you written them down, you don't have to, in a way, you can let go. Just, okay, I have made a note of it. I'm just letting go, right? So that way we try to fill our paper with the things that come to our mind. Now, I think you may have a few things on your list. If somebody would like to share, no need to go into details of the incidents. Just roughly share in point form. That would be enough. Yes, Chamari.
So there are, just scanning the mind, there were two things. First is a kind of an ongoing one. How to face life if my husband passes away before me. I know the cause. I know the reason. Because he's doing much of the organizing of bill payments and getting quotes for insurance and whatever else, which I'm not interested in, but I know is important in the worldly life. So that's the reason why. Otherwise, my dad passed away in my hands, and that was, I faced it fairly well. And my mum passed away 10 years ago. That was similar. So the connection here I see is that how am I going to think, engage in these worldly activities that somebody else is doing at the moment? So that's one. That's kind of an ongoing one. Then there is a second one, which is a very recent one, something about a neighbor who, when they became unreasonable, I did write about it in one of the reports, and the feedback really, really helped. But there is, I think, some residue of that still in the mind, which seemed to take up some of the valuable space in the mind. So those are the two things.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now you can see the very first one, it's an ongoing one. Right. So it might last even few months or few years even. So such things are there for no reason. Of course, you know, a certain reasoning is there, but it creates friction. And there is nothing really you can do about it. Right. So it keeps creating friction, and you can see that probably it lasts for months, even years. So this is how. Now we acknowledge them. We take note of them. But still, that doesn't mean it will go away. It might still hang around. But at least you know that this is there. This is the reasoning. That acknowledgement is important. When you write it down, in a way, you are letting go. In a way, you try to, you know, let go. That type of a activity we try to do. Then the other thing is that although that thing with the neighbor, although it is resolved, still some kind of a friction is there. Still that those thoughts, emotions are there. So this is how our mind is. Now you see, letting go, you can't really do intentionally. Now, both of these things, if you have the choice, you might let go. But still, you can see that you can't let go like that. So letting go, it's not intentional. If I say you just write it down and let go, it won't happen. That's not practical. So this letting go, it's natural, naturally appearing in one's mind with practice, with training. What's the training you have to do? You have to be present. That's the only training you can do. There's no such thing as letting go training. In a way, when we are present, we let go of the thoughts, emotions, and return to our breath, return to the steps. Right? So that training you have to do. As a result, your mind will naturally let go. Your mind will naturally let go. Let's say the issue with the neighbor, it lasted for a few weeks this time. When you continue your practice next time, although they'll be unreasonable for the same degree, your mind lets go more easily. So that comes with the training. Now you see, most of these issues, you can't really do anything about them. That's the sarcasm in these thoughts, these bothering issues. Most of them, you can't really do anything about it, but still they hang around. Still they keep creating friction. So it's important to acknowledge them. It's important to take note that these things are there. I can't really do anything about it, but still they hang around. Right? There might be certain things that you can act. Certain things you can do something, and that will help definitely. But most of these things, such things, you can't really do anything. And anyway, they are staying. They are here to stay. So what we have to do is that we acknowledge, we know that these things are there in the back end of our mind. They keep bothering us. That acknowledgement is important, taking note of them. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. Much merit.
Hiranti.
Sorry, Bhante. Thank you. What I put down, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, all the things I have to do this week, like I have got a few appointments, doctor's appointments and other appointments, and have to get ready what to discuss, all those things without forgetting. And because of those appointments, have to get the shopping organized and the cooking and those things. And then further, then comes my sitting and the walking meditations. I need to, allocate some time for those things as well daily. These are the normal mundane things, and to have them at the back of my mind, not to forget them. And that's all really, nothing special. This is only for 1 week, so I don't know how it will go as time goes on. There may be something urgent which crops up amongst all these things. These are the things which came to my mind.
Okay, so thanks for sharing. Now that's more like a to-do list. Whatever the things that are pending in the list, in the week, right? So they do create certain kind of a friction. Especially now, for me, I noticed that whenever I have something like few things arranged for the next day or for the evening, then usually my mind creates certain kind of a friction over them. It used to be very higher. Let's say tomorrow there's this program I had to go. So probably like earlier, the friction was too high. Now still the friction is there, the pending things, waiting things that I'm supposed to do. So they create certain kind of a friction or kind of a pressure in our mind. So that's something I do notice when I pay attention. Sometimes they are there. There's nothing really you can do about them. You can't prepare for them. It's just the things that you have to go through. But they create certain kind of a friction. Traveling, meeting with various people, going to certain appointments. So such things, mundane things, but still they might create some kind of a friction. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, yeah, I just want these things does worry me. If it is a week which doesn't have any appointments, just normal staying at home and cooking or going shopping leisurely, then it doesn't bother me. But when there are appointments and meeting people and getting things done, it does worry me, as you said. Oh, will I be on time? Will I get there without getting lost or things like that? So those things does worry me, really, because I mean, that is a fact which I have noted. It happens 2-3 days before or a week before. So I plan quite a lot beforehand. If I'm going to a new place and driving, then I do prepare myself because I don't want to get lost and get agitated. And you see, then I don't arrive calmly, peacefully. So that's something I need to come out of, really. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, please. How do
If I ask you a question, now what's the way to come out of this? Do you think having no appointments would help? What's the idea?
I think it is planning ahead. Like if I'm driving, just knowing the place and being conversant with the place and getting whatever the aids I need, then that way I will be more confident in, because if I'm going to a normal place where I daily go, then I won't get agitated. I just get in the car and drive. So that's
out of your comfort zone. When things come, you tend to plan a lot, right? So this planning might create additional pressure. Certain things you are not supposed to plan, or there's nothing to plan, but still you keep planning, right? So planning, thinking too much, planning too much, they might create agitation as well. So having no appointments, although you feel that you are peaceful, temporarily, you can't really live like that. Certain things you have anyway go through, they might come whether you like it or not, right? So what you can do is, what I suggest is that have more and more things where you have to go out of your comfort zone, right? Have so many things, try so many things, there is no time for you to plan, right? When such things happen, you have to be prepared. That's the only training that you can do. Be prepared, be ready. Whatever comes, you have to face it with an open heart, right? So such things help. You are going into a chaotic situation and trying to navigate it. So when you have a few things, only few things, then your mind keeps planning them, keeps creating stress out of these things. But if you have so many things to do, then you have no time to plan. But we are not suggesting to, you know, destroy all your peace and go after various things. But still, that's an experiment that you can do, right? It's like juggling. When you have too many balls up in the sky, then you really can't do anything. There's nothing to, no time to think, right? So that type of a thing you can try, going out of your comfort zone more often and see how you are navigating such situations. All right. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. Teruvan sannai.
Yes, Samanthi.
Thank you, Bhante. Just quickly like to just say, in fact, this just happened yesterday, so it was fresh in the mind. I did have a disagreement with my brother yesterday when he rang my parents. Now I think usually I would just get upset and it'll work in me, you know, and react. But now I think exactly what Frank said. So, exactly what Bante said. It seemed to resonate with me, because I didn't, after the incident, I wasn't able to let go because obviously I'm not, that strong or, in high in the part to just to be able to let go. I felt that even though the issue was working in my mind, I didn't let it affect me because my intentions, I looked at my intentions and I thought I didn't do anything unwholesome. My intentions were, to me, wholesome. And I just carried on with the day, focusing on my parents and doing the wholesome actions, and my everything was happy. So had a good day. So I didn't really let it bother me. And in a way, sort of put it at the back of my mind. And then some, I try now to keep, turn any stressful situations, divert the attention to my breath, and just let the emotion just hang out there for a while, so that I won't react. And just like Bundy said, I think I'll just sort of like, that really helped me. And I couldn't just, in the instance, couldn't just let go and just be happy when a stressful situation comes at the moment, and at this stage anyway. And then in future, moving along, I thought, when I, when I'm having these discussions, or if I may see my brother, I'll have this in mind and then know what to sort of expect and be more mindful. It's making me a bit more mindful to how to react. But thank you, Bante. That's what I just wanted to share, really.
Okay, so that's a good experience. Even day-to-day practices, we can go through such experiences. Now, this is totally related to the practice. You can see that there was no reaction, although the emotions were there, although the thoughts were in your head, you didn't react. Instead, you didn't let it affect you, right? No bodily or the verbal actions, only the issue was there in mind. Now those emotions, thoughts, you don't have to get rid of them. You are angry, but you are functioning as usual. Maybe you even have more energy to function. But you protect yourself not to cross that line of verbal or the bodily actions, right? So anger might last a few hours, even a few days, it might last, but you are functioning somehow, you are navigating this situation. So dealing with emotions, thoughts, this skill is very important. You are not fighting it, you are not suppressing it, you let it be. While having it, you function. It's like you have the strength, you have more capacity in your mind. Earlier, probably when such emotions are there, you can't function. Your entire schedule get disrupted, right? So that's how earlier it was. Now it's like your mind has more capacity. You can put more things, right? And still function. So that ability is important. Now, when such things happen, you can distract. We say healthy distractions. You have certain other things. You put your attention to those things. It's not like you are ignorant. You know what happened. You are aware. But still you choose not to give attention to it. Not to go creating thoughts, worrying, anger. Not to encourage that process. Instead, you are totally aware, you know that this happened, you know how they reacted, but in a way, you choose not to give attention to that. Right? So that we say healthy distractions. In my life, what I find is that when I have so many things, so many pending things, then it's easier for me to navigate situations. If I have less things to do, then only the negative things, only such incidents come to my mind. Because now your capacity is empty, right? So usually this negativity, they grab our attention easily. It's easier for them to grab our attention. So what I do is that I keep having like a huge waiting list. There's nothing really urgent. in that list. But still, I have a long list of things, right? Whenever certain things doesn't go as I wish, then I put my attention to something else. Right? Again, after a while, I might return to the original subject. But when that time passes by, I can respond rather than reacting. Right? So it's important. That's why I think I mentioned to you this earlier as well. Having things helps if you know how to navigate them, if you know how to use them skillfully. Right? For me, it's easier because there's no such thing as urgent in my life. There's no deadlines in my life. So it's much easier for me to keep things on a waiting list and divide my energy as I wish. But when you have deadlines, when you have work schedules, stuff that you need to get done through a week, then it might need a different approach. But still, you have so many things, you know how to skillfully engage with them. So such things help when you have to go through these episodes. You know that these things are there, but you choose not to give attention to it. You function as usual with the things that needs your attention, right? So it's an ongoing skill. It's an ongoing skill. There's no perfection. You are learning as long as you are living, right? So continue and we can discuss once again.
Thank you, Bhante. That's really helpful. And just lastly, just to quickly just say that was really, because I'm finding that, you know, every day now is, you know, there's always some sort of a situation that arises, you know, a stressful situation. And now I'm starting to get immune to them now, in a way, sort of. I'm not totally responding. I do react sometimes, but I'm controlling my reactions a bit more with all this advice. So I'm doing that. And, you know, in a way, every day, every second or few minutes, there's always something going on, you know, that's stressful. So being, and I know that I'm not in control of any of these situations. So I just try to let it be, as Bhante said, and then just, it's still in the back of the mind, but learning to focus on the breath and just not ignore, but, you know, yeah, carry on. Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. That's really helpful. Sadhu.
Yeah, as you mentioned, every day there's something to worry about. That's how the world is, right? So if you start worrying over them, it's a never-ending process. Always something new will come and they create worry in our mind. So what we have to do is that we have to be skillful, skillfully navigating these situations. Otherwise, you'll get caught in this negativity. It's a vicious cycle. Never ending, right? But instead you jump out of it, you try to go through this positive cycle, more productive way of living. So that skill you can attain with time. Of course, with time you have to do. Sometimes if the emotions, thoughts, they are too heavy, then maybe a heavy workout, something like that might help.
Yeah.
Going for exercise or going to the gym or some other sport that you would like. So such things also help if it's too much to bear, right? So have so many various options. That's what I'm saying.
Mm. Wonderful. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, it seems like that's all the experiences. Now, this exercise, now you had few things in your list, right? Now, if you try tomorrow, now this list might change. Certain things still might be there, but certain new things come. And certain things in this list might disappear tomorrow. So it's always ongoing list, right? So in a way, we are not keeping records. Instead, we acknowledge, we take note of such things, and then tomorrow you can just throw the piece of paper away But if you write tomorrow, there'll be a new list of worries. So it's ongoing, always it's ongoing. Certain things add into this list, certain things disappear from this list. So it's an ongoing list again and again. The purpose of this activity was to acknowledge them, take note of them, not to keep records and refer again and again. That's not the idea. I think somebody, Abraham Lincoln or somebody, he is saying that you take note of your worries, you write them on a piece of paper. Tomorrow you'll burn them. Tomorrow you'll burn them. With the ashes, my worries go away. So such practices are important. Some people, they maintain diaries. And even 1 year later, they come back and they read those same problems, issues again and again. So that's not healthy. Positive things you can keep. You can refer to them again and again. But negativity doesn't help. So I am not recommending for you to maintain these records. Instead, write them on a piece of paper, then throw it away. That's the idea. Thank you for participating. Namanth, over to you.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits. Next on our session is the talk on mindfulness. So the topic for today is stress and anxiety. So I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to commence with the talk on this topic. Over to Bhante again. Much merits.
Okay, everyone. So today we are starting a new topic. And this topic might last 1 or 2 weeks, I think. So when we think about stress, when we think about anxiety, it is not something foreign, not something new to us in this modern new age world, right? So always if you work, if you maintain certain lifestyles, if you have children, if you have a family, then of course these things would be there. Let's say somebody who doesn't have anything, somebody without any responsibilities, somebody who is single, still they might have certain other things in their mind to worry about, to create stress, to create anxiety. So that's how our minds are. Even becoming a bhikkhu or a monk, most of them are not happy. They are not happy. And they have certain things. They get everything for free, right? The robes, the meals, a roof over their head, everything is given by somebody else. Still, they are not happy. Still, they have worries. Still, they have problems. Even more problems than the lay people. Even more difficult to bear than the lay people. So that's how this mind is. You can really see, and this is the nature of our mind, always creating stress, anxiety out of nothing. If you have things, you are stressed. If you don't have things still, you are stressed. That's how this mind is. So in a way, stress is a reaction of this mind. In a way, stress is a mind's way of dealing with your mental health. Right? Usually, the stress comes as a result of poor mental health, we can say. Right? If you don't have time to take care of your mental health, as a result, stress, anxiety is natural. Usually, we overwhelm our senses with so many things. When you go through a work day, how many sounds you usually encounter per day? Traveling in trains, cars, traffic, all those things are there, right? Then probably the workplace might not be quiet as you wish, right? Then you hear music, sometimes you listen to music. So all the time, our ears are overwhelmed by these sense inputs, right? In addition, let's say the eyes. So many colorful, bright lights, banners, so many things are there. Devices devices are there with bright screens. So in a way, you are overwhelming your eyes with these sense inputs. Then even the bodily sensations, taste, all those other inputs are there. Then the mind is the worst. Due to all of these inputs, our mind becomes more like a chaotic place, right? So these things, various sense inputs, come into our mind. Usually, there's something like a filing system in this mind. What happens is that when certain inputs are given, it will go through such inputs and file them away. That process is there where when something happens, usually this incident, it goes in a loop in your mind. For minutes, for hours, for days, sometimes these incidents go in a loop. That's the filing process that is happening. Still, your mind is not ready to file it and forget it. That process is happening. When we have too many inputs, what happens is that that process is disrupted and replaced with new things. So in a way, if we don't allow this natural filing process to happen, then as a result, we get stress. We get anxiety. In a way, if you don't have time to take care of your mental health, then as a result, you get stress, you get anxiety. Or it's your mind's way of taking care of your mental health. Right? So that's how it is. Now think about a week, probably the week ahead of you, right? How many things you have on your to-do list, working for 5 days, probably going on a trip during the weekend, then probably afternoon some things, right? Or taking your children to some schools or practices or something like that. And then participating to a party, right? Oh, 1001 things are there in your to-do list. The week ahead, how many things you have to do, right? And you do them, at least you try to do them. And towards the end of the week, you complain that you are so stressed. You complain that you have anxiety. We don't know our capacity. We don't know our energy is limited. You have 1001 things in your to-do list, and towards the end of the day, you complain about stress. You complain about anxiety. Now, when you were a baby, maybe your parents took care of such issues, right? When you were a baby, when you have a few hours of wake time, then probably it's time for a nap. The baby starts crying and the parents know the baby is crying because it's the napping time. It's time to relax. So even that wisdom was there when you were a baby, or maybe your parents took care of it. But as adults, we don't know how to take care of our mental health. We don't know how many hours of sleep we need. For an adult, at least like 7 hours of sleep you need. That is important. If you are meditating, then those things might be more effective than the sleeping time. Probably like 1.5 times effective meditating, formal meditation I am referring to. If you are doing a 1 hour sitting, you can reduce like 1.5 hours of sleep, right? So we don't have accounts. We don't take note that we are sleep deprived. You don't relax. You don't have time for a nap. So after doing all these things, after running on caffeine for a week, towards the end of the week, you complain that you are anxious. Towards the end of the week, you complain that you are stressed. So in a way, we have to rethink our lifestyles. In a way, we have to take care of our mental health as top priority. So that awareness is important. At least be conscious that you are not having enough sleep. At least know that I am supposed to have 7 hours of sleep, but I am only having 5 hours. Keeping records, it's important. At least you know that you are sleep deprived. If you don't know, you might function for a few weeks and suddenly you may fall sick, and even within a week you can't recover. What happens is that you didn't take care of your health, mental as well as physical. Then the body decided to take control. Right? So when we come to mindfulness practice, what we suggest is that at least be conscious about these things. Don't allow just things to just happen. Instead, be aware. Take note of your health. Take note of your mind. Every once in a while, you check in with your mind and body. You notice what's happening. Sometimes it's time to take a break. Sometimes it's time to go for a walk in between work hours. Such breaks are important. Maybe you need a nap after 20, 30 minutes. The world would be much easier to deal with. So such things, it is important to be conscious. It is important that we keep accounts. We keep track of such things. Now, when we are practicing as formal meditation, if you can at least have like 20, 30 minutes of walking and 20, 30 minutes of sitting. Every day you are spending like 1 hour to 1.5 hours doing formal meditation. If you have that type of approach, it'd be much easier and you realize this meditation helps. Now, a few weeks back, there was this interesting discussion among a group. What is more relaxing? Is the sleep more relaxing or is the formal meditation more relaxing? So they had few ideas, but I think the formal meditation, it's much more relaxing. Now, there was this study done some time back. They measured the oxygen consumption levels of your brain after 6 hours of sleep. Usually, it is reduced to a certain level. 6 hours of sleep. After 6 hours of sleep, oxygen consumption levels. Now that level is similar to 20 minutes of sitting practice, 20 minutes of formal meditation, sitting practice, that same level you will reach. Oxygen consumption levels. That's a sign how relaxed you are, right? So the level that is reached after 6 hours of sleep is reached after 20 minutes of meditation. I'm not suggesting 6 hours of sleep is equal to 20 minutes of meditation, but I'm saying those oxygen consumption levels match. So if you have formal meditation in your daily life, it is very much important and it will be very much helpful. In a way, you are consciously taking care of your mental health. When you do that, you will feel lower and lower levels of stress. Why? Because now you are consciously taking care of. You are not letting your mind do it. Instead, you consciously take care of it. So that's important. That's probably like 1.5 hours every day. But still, there are more hours, more wake time in a day. Probably like maybe like 16 more hours of wake time. Right? You might be doing various things. Right? So, not only formal meditation, but even day-to-day activities, you have to approach them like meditation. Otherwise, we say this mindfulness, it's like a gatekeeper. So, 1.5 hours, you protect your gate. Then the rest of the time, you let it open and you go somewhere and rest. What will happen? Your grounds won't be protected because most of the times you have your gate wide open. So that won't help. In a way, formal meditation is important, but you have to have the proper approach, proper attitude. Even the rest of the time, you have to approach each and every activity as meditation. Consciously, you do them. Mindfully, you try to do. You make mistakes, but that's fine. We make mistakes and we learn. Sometimes we get carried away. It's natural. Sometimes only passing few hours, you realize I wasn't mindful. That's fine. Again and again, you try to have this attitude. Again and again, you try to approach these things as a meditation. We say one thing at a time, and that done well. That type of approach, it is important to take. Otherwise, you are doing the formal meditation. It helps. But what about the rest of the time? Rest of the time, if you keep your gate wide open, then it's not healthy. It's not safe. So what we do is that we take energy from that formal meditation and we try to function in our lives more attentively, more consciously. Now let's say you are brushing for 5 minutes. Every day you do this, right? While brushing, if you think about it, if you reflect upon it, where is your attention? Sometimes you eat few meals probably every day. Now while eating, if you really reflect upon it, where is your attention? Probably watching TV or working on a phone, looking at a screen, on social media. Such occasions, where is your attention? Now, if you notice such occasions, suddenly you realize your mind is lost in thoughts. Your mind is lost in emotions. This is how we function most of the time. If you don't do it consciously, then natural process is getting lost. Your body brushes. Body is brushing. But the mind is somewhere lost among thoughts, among various incidents, emotions. Your body is having the meal, having the lunch. But your mind is somewhere lost thinking about some other meal that you had yesterday. Probably planning going to a restaurant tomorrow and having lunch. So that's how this mind is. So you see, if you don't do it consciously, nature will take care of it. Habitually, your mind goes to these thoughts. Habitually, your mind goes to this wandering mind. So it is important that we intentionally bring our attention to the brushing. We intentionally bring our attention to the meal. We intentionally bring our attention to the activity at hand. Not just once, not just twice. In 1001 times, we are doing the same practice again and again. You don't have to create stress doing meditation. You don't have to take it so seriously. Instead, you are somehow skillfully navigating yourself again and again to the present moment. Otherwise, even the meditation becomes stressful for some people. Their entire life, they have been walking fine. As soon as they start walking meditation, they can't walk. Their body breathes, all right. But as soon as they start meditating, they can't breathe. What happens when you try to be conscious of the process? You realize sometimes the process doesn't happen as it used to be. So the meditation becomes stressful. But when with repetitive practice, you realize how to let go, how to be at ease and continue with your formal practice. You allow your body to walk naturally. You allow your body to breathe naturally. That natural walk, natural breathing, you try to notice. You try to pay attention. That's a skill that you are developing. Gradually, you have to approach it. Initially, it's natural that the breath becomes forceful. But with time, you develop this skill to observe this natural breath. With time, you allow your body to walk naturally and you can observe it. So that process we are developing, that ability we are developing. Again and again, you approach these things as meditation and try to see. So earlier your mind was lost in so many thoughts, wandering mind, inner chatter. All these things are there. But now, with the help of mindfulness, at least you have accounts. You know that past hour I was lost at least. Keeping track of it is important. Having this attitude is important. Again and again, you try to be more and more conscious about the things that's happening. So that's the correct approach towards meditation. Otherwise, you are taking 1.5 hours, 2 hours of formal meditation. But rest of the time, it is a gate wide open, not protected, not guarded. So all the garbage in the world come in, wandering mind, thoughts, worries, all these things come. So again and again, it is important that you pay attention. Again and again, it is important that you be conscious and try to take note of things. It's okay to make mistakes, but again and again, you know what to do. You know how to correct yourself. For most people, we recommend paying attention to a bodily sensation. Whatever you do, you can pay attention to a bodily sensation. Brushing, you have certain bodily sensations. Having your meals, you have certain bodily sensations. Let's say cooking, you have certain bodily sensations. So naturally, we bring attention to a bodily sensation. Our body is always present. There's nothing magical about the body. There's nothing magical about the bodily sensations or the breath. The body is always present. That's what we take use of. We know our body is present. So as long as we are observing a bodily sensation, we are assured that our mind is present. That's the idea behind this observing these bodily sensations. With time, you realize it comes more and more naturally to you. Even walking somewhere, you realize my attention naturally goes to the sensations at my feet. Sitting on a bus, traveling somewhere, you realize your attention naturally goes to the breath in your body. Having a meal, your attention naturally comes to the sensations that you feel. So that is repetitive practice. And when you do repetitive practice, you realize your mind habitually, naturally return to the present moment. So that way, we can improve our practice. In a way, you are consciously taking care of your mental health. You are not allowing your mind to take care of it. You are not allowing stress and anxiety to manifest. Instead, you are consciously taking care of your mental health. Formal meditation is important. And then doing various things mindfully, it's important. So these things you can incorporate in your daily life and see how you can improve your mental health. And with practice, majority of us, we experience that lower and lower stress levels are there. Anxiety is reducing considerably due to the practice. So that's something very important. And when you realize it on your own, then you don't need further proof. You know for yourself that the practice works. So that's the idea for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you and much merits, Banthi, for that valued talk on mindfulness based on stress and anxiety and how this practice will help one to overcome this in a natural format rather than with effort. So next we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Nadeep to commence with the instruction for beginners. I will share the screen for the...
Thank you, Namante. Avsarai Bhante. We have received two reports today. Prior to that, I would like to share the instruction for beginners. As shared on the screen, the Venerable from Nisaranvanaya has helped us creating two videos on mindfulness walking and mindfulness sitting. Prior to start any sort of practice, please watch those two videos and get a really good idea of the basic instructions on both mindful walking and mindful sitting. And most important thing is to put that into practice. So start with a really small amount of time, set aside like 5 minutes daily at a set time, and continue practice as the instructions. Once you make a habit of doing it daily, you can gradually increase the time of practice from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 minutes and so on. Once you complete 2 hours in total after a week of practice, you can write down and share all your experiences with us and present it to the Bhante for further instruction. In terms of writing the reports, you may include how you start your mindful walking. It is instructed that start the mindfulness practice with the walking. So how you start mindful walking, how you feel it, your toes and the change of the weight in between your legs and any disturbance from the outside. Include all those information and also mindful sitting. How you start your mindful sitting? What is the primary object? Whether it is rising and falling of your tummy or in-breath and out-breath. And how you observe that one, short breath, long breath, warmth, coolness, and all that. Include those minor details in your reports and send to us. As appeared on the screen, you have two methods to send us the report, either through Google Form or you can directly send us using this email. Continue your practice according to the instruction. And join the every session as much as you can, and also encourage new beginners to join the program and share your experiences. With that, I would like to move on to reading the report. We have two reports received today, Bhante. Let me start with the first report. Walking meditation. Walked on tile floor. Lifting, moving, placing of each foot noted. Hardness, warmth, cold, wetness, uneven surface, trousers touching top of foot, occasional discomfort on one foot, weight of body all observed and noted to change or pass. The contact of parts of foot on the floor noted as beginning within bracket heel, middle, within bracket midfoot and end toes, and then when being lifted, the lack of contact noted. The air on the foot during movement noted. At one point, the pleasant feeling of sun falling on skin observed, and the thought that it would pass with the sitting sun. Sorry, Bhante, setting sun. The proliferation of the thought not to attach to pleasant sensation also noted. Mind went back to feet. For a brief moment, the flow appeared to move away, but this perception passed. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Watching breath primary object at a recent retreat attended with Most Venerable Dhammajiva in UK. As the breath was noted as inhalation, exhalation equal in length, a fly landed on arm after buzzing around. It made me smile as the Venerable had just said there were not enough flies to disturb our meditation. Remembered his advice of leaving the fly alone and how it would eventually go away. He said, if you chase it away, it was likely to come right back. The mind watched the tickling sensation and the gaps in between a little of the time. It then landed on the face. The mind was glad it was not on my nose or edges of the mouth, as it had been for the Venerable. Determined to not to chase it away, stayed still, but noted the mind, hoping it would fly away. At one point, noted movement of thumb to try to make it move away. The mind went between the fly and breath, and eventually it flew away. The mind then noted the breath breaking up and watched till breath reappeared. Meditated for 1 hour. Mindfulness in the day. On a recent flight, noted whilst waiting for passengers to settle in the aircraft that the body was in seated position with back upright. Different sounds, smells, noted to arise, and those that were prominent to the mind gradually passing away, and mind taking up next object. This was a useful exercise during the most of waking hours on the flight. When taking out overhead luggage, accidentally knocked another passenger's bag, which was open and contents fell out. She was very angry initially, but appeared taken aback when I apologized profusely and helped to collect things and ensured there was nothing under the seat, etc. It was interesting to note how aggressive action was calmed soon, and she begrudgingly accepted the final apology. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. Now we call them karma flies, you know. You sit for meditation, out of nowhere, they suddenly appear. So why they were nearby, as soon as you sit for meditation, they come. Right? So, some of them are traveling flies. You know, you start from near the meditation hall till the dining hall, they chase after you. Right? View probably like 600 meters. Again and again, rotating around the head or landing on your face. That's how they do, right? Only certain people they pick, and only after them they chase. So we say karma flies. As soon as you sit, the flies appear, right? So these things, they are good experiences. Even a fly can disturb us so much, right? Even a fly can ruin our day. This is how our mind works. Now, you sit in meditation, you imagine, don't land on my lips. Don't land on my nose, you say. And sometimes they even read such thoughts, and next target, they go for the lips. Right? So that's how it is. Gradually, you have to develop this ability. It's a skill that you are developing, facing such situations, how to navigate it. That same skill would be even applicable for your daily activities, even facing such incidents, right? So you made a mistake or some accident happened, and immediately you get that reaction from the other passenger. So your approach matters, right? If you approach in a wrong way, then it might escalate into some other situation. But suddenly if you approach and apologize, then that will change their behavior. So you can see how mindfulness is important, how few split seconds can change a situation. Right, so such occasions you can't really think and be mindful. That's not how it goes. Instead, you practice mindfulness consciously, and as a result, you get this ability to face such situations mindfully. That is the real practice. That is where the real practice lies, or the real test lies. Not when you are comfortable, but when you are uncomfortable. Not when you have everything planned, but something unexpected happened. When everything goes according to your schedule, but everything goes wrong. Right? When such things happen, we can really test your practice. In a trouble, you can see the real strength in a person, not when they are comfortable, but during a trouble, during an accident, you can really see how much strength this person has. Some create even more difficulty due to their reaction. They even create more trouble due to their reaction. So few split seconds matter. So what you do is that you keep on practicing. You keep on training yourself. As a result of that training, one day you might be able to face such situations much more efficiently, navigate such situations much more efficiently. So that's why we say it's a lifelong practice. There's no due date. There's no time frame. Instead, it's continual improvement. Continually, you are improving little by little, basing various situations, learning different things. That's how we have to go, right? And during such unexpected situations only, you can really check your practice. Not when things go according to the plan, but when something bad happens, when something unexpected happens, when an accident happens, then only you can really check your practice. Then only you can really check your strength. So in your report, you mentioned that apology, it changed the whole situation. Only a few split seconds, but that changed the whole situation. But if you approach in a different manner, maybe it might escalate into a totally different, out-of-hand situation. So that's how these things are. Again and again, you train yourself and see how you can be prepared for such situations. Right? How you can be prepared for disappointments. How you can be prepared for such accidents. How you can be prepared for unexpected situations. So that you can't really plan. That's why you can plan as long as things go according to your plan. But when such things happen, there's no plan. Right? You don't know what's around the corner. Right? So having no plan is the best. But you can't really do it without the training. You have to develop your ability so you can perform well. Otherwise, having no plan make things even worse. So with time, little by little, you let go of the planning, you face things confidently, and you know how to navigate them. The skill is important. Gradually, you can approach the level of having a no plan and facing whatever comes with an open mind. That's the best skill level. But in order to reach that, you have to gradually improve yourself. Thank you for sharing and continue your practice.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Echoing the very essence of our practice, you know, sometimes we put ourselves into the test. We don't know where it comes from, and then test how mindful we are. Next report, Bhante. Mindful walking. Walked on wooden floor. Part of the path was covered by a thick rug. Stood at one end, noticing how the body weight was balanced on both feet. Started to walk at a normal pace while keeping the attention on movements of feet. Lifting, moving, and placing of feet noted well. Body weight shifting from side to side also noted. When either foot was lifted, there was a sense of ease. When they were placed and pressed against the floor, it felt heavy. Noted that the mind preferred the sensation of ease compared with the heaviness. After a while, recognized that both these sensations were alternated throughout walking. So with or without a preference, both would take place. That awareness brought calmness in the mind. While walking on the wooden area, the heel, side of the sole, ball of the foot and toes were prominently felt against the floor. While walking on the thick rug, the arch of the soles also was in contact with the rug. Walked for 35 minutes. mindful sitting, sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. After a body scan, the breath noted around nostrils. It was prominent, and in-breath cooler and out-breath warmer. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breathing until the doorbell rang. It was early morning and rest of the family was asleep, which meant I needed to attend to this. Annoyance crossed the mind for a fleeting second and then recognized that the sitting session can be resumed after checking who was at the door. Returned to the cushion, sat again, finding a comfortable position, and it was easy enough to notice the sensations of breathing again. Sat for 30 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Had a body massage at home, and the mind had spontaneously engaged with bodily sensations and mental feelings during this hour. Previously, it was usual to fall asleep in the first 20 minutes of the hour, but this time there was mental alertness about what is taking place. The therapist used a range of skills. The mind was able to distinguish between deep pressure, mild pressure, pull of arms and legs at different times. Also noted the smell of essential oils used. Had eyes closed, so there was no sights. Deep pressure applied to some parts of the body was felt as relief or ease, but same pressure applied to another area felt too much or painful due to a recent muscle pain. Breath was also noted from time to time during this process. There were a couple of times where the mind wasn't sure whether to experience the bodily sensations as comfortable or painful. It was surprising as either perception could fit in there. For example, if wanted to feel the pressure as painful, the option was there. At the same time, if wanted to feel it as comfortable and relieving, that option was also there. Then, interestingly, the mind let go of both and just noted the pressure of therapist's hands in contact with the body as simply pressure. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and all the organizers. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Okay, I can very much relate to the first part of your experience. Now you sit for meditation. As soon as you sit, you hear the doorbell. Right? Then it's troubling. You know, somebody is at the door. Now you have to get up and go and open it. So such things happen. Right? Especially when you deal with certain people. They come in odd times. Then suddenly agitation, anger appears in your mind. It's natural. Sometimes you react and then you realize you made a mistake. Maybe it's too late, right? So that's how it is. But as you mentioned, you realize you can resume the meditation after answering the door. Right, so they are like the flies that's coming in the meditation. So you have to face such situations. Sometimes you don't answer, they knock, they ring the bell, and they go away. So that's another experience. But then you wonder who came. Then you wonder whether it's an emergency. All those thoughts come. So that's how it is. Right, so you have to keep an open mind and see what's the best approach. Sometimes certain people, especially those new yogis, they come at odd times, right? They don't knock, they rotate around the kuti. So I just stay mindful and, you know that this person is rotating one time, two times, three times, four times. and suddenly they go away. Then again, after 10 minutes, they come back again. Another 5 rotations, they go. So that's how it is. Sometimes you answer, sometimes you just let it be. Both situations, you can observe. When you don't answer, you realize. So later, it will create various other thoughts. Was it, or maybe it was something urgent? Such thoughts. When you answer, maybe anger or irritation. It's natural. It's how our mind is. Whatever you do, you can. It's an experience. It's meditation. Whether you answer or not, it's meditation. Both situations, you can see how your mind is reacting to these situations, right? So that's another way of practice, right? We live in this world. So various people are there. They have various issues, various needs. So it's natural that you get disrupted. But you have to find a way to navigate them skillfully. Then your second part, taking care of our body. It's something important, right? Even you can, when you walk, when you do mindful walking, if you don't wear any slippers, if you walk barefoot, it's more like a foot massage, right? And you become healthy because your entire feet is getting massaged with the floor, with the sand, with the soil, right? So such things are important. One of the advantages of walking meditation is that you become healthy in your body. That's there, right? So it's like foot massage. So these things, it's okay to take care of yourself. Sometimes there are certain self foot massages that you can do. Even before bed, 5-10 minutes of foot massage, a self foot massage you can do. Apply some oil or something and just do it for 5-10 minutes. And you realize that relaxes you, that prepares for your sleep. So it's okay to take care of your body. Spend some time taking care of your body. That's fine. Those things help. Those things bring our attention to the body. Not lost in mind, but brings our attention to the body. Whatever that brings our attention to the body, you can do it and see how it is helping your daily schedules. So such things are important, right? Taking care of your body is important. And during that time, you can really relax and let go and see how it is creating peace, how it is bringing your mind to the body, making your mind more and more present. So such things are applicable, appreciated in our lives. And you need to take care of this body, right? Whatever you do, you have to navigate this world with this body. So it is advisable to take care of your body, do the necessary things and function. Thank you for sharing. You can share your experience again.
Thank you very much, Bhante. That's all the reports we have received today. May we have some time for verbal questions? We are just right on time. So for the participants, if you have any verbal questions, we have a few minutes to share. If you have questions, please click the raise hand button on the reaction under the reaction, and then we will let you speak. Seems no such questions, Bhante. Sorry. Hiranti, I will unmute you. You may talk now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhante. On my sitting meditation, I get stuck in the breathing where I can't proceed from the breathing meditation when I say I do the inhale and exhale. So what I did was I started looking at the breath, actually, whether it is long breath, short breath, and also how long it will last, and then go from there. Is that the right way to proceed? Because I'm like stuck in there. So I can't go further.
When you say stuck, what do you mean?
I started my sitting meditation very peacefully, calmly, and then start with the breathe, in-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath. And it goes on. My mind doesn't go anywhere. It is on the breath, but I am on the in-breath and then out-breath. And from there, how do I proceed is the question. So what I do is, it's very peaceful, it's cool, and it's looking at the characteristics of it. I have started doing that. I don't know whether that's the right way to proceed.
Yeah, that's fine. If you can observe your breath without issue, or if you can observe your breath easily, we advise you to notice the details in them. Probably, what is the difference in breath? What is the difference in out breath? And how that breath is changing with time? Maybe when you sit for 20, 30, 40 minutes, what is the change in the breath? Right? Very first day you might notice, but again and again you're observing whether the breath is changing. Is it changing? You're observing. When you observe, you realize it is changing. That change you have to report back to us that change, then we can discuss further.
Change in the means, whether it's a long breath, short breath, and the texture of it. Are those the details?
Yeah, whatever the details that you notice would be fine. The changes in them.
Yeah, and how I feel in the body as well, the lighter.
No, now you were talking about breath, right?
Yeah. But yeah. Overall, yeah.
Our subject, not the entire body.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Pante. I'll carry on with that and see how I progress.
Let us know how the breath is changing when you sit for 1 hour or 40 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Pante. Thank you,
thanks, Ranti, for raising your questions. I think we just... bit of all the time, and I hand over to Namanthe. Thank you very much, Bante.
Thank you very much, Merit Nadeep, for handling the Q&A section of the program, and also much merit to Bante for valued insight and guidance through the advice from Q&A. Now we are kind of over time, so we will wrap up quickly. I would like to associate merits to Bante for the dedication and participation, and also for the insightful guidance in today's session. We hope these merits will have a positive impact on Bante's own practice and it develops further. Likewise, we would like to share merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery, Most Honorable Bante Udayiragam Dhammajiva Mahathero, for his insightful request to create this program. And we wish these merits will have a positive impact on Chief Bante's own practice. Furthermore, there are the organizers of this session who work hard on the background to maintain the quality and also to sustain the program this way. A lot of work is being done on the background, so I would like to pass on merits to them and wish that their journeys of mindfulness practice also thrive into the future. And I would also like to thank all of you who have joined this session through Zoom and through the Facebook live stream, and wish these minutes will be shared with you so that you also will improve on your own practices in mindfulness journey. Now, this same session will continue on every week, and next week, same time, the session will start up again, and you can use the next available 7 days to practice the teachings from Bante from today's session. And I would like to wish you a happy and mindful week ahead. So we will see you next week at the same time. I will end the Zoom session now. Thank you.